It's titled A New Resurrection. And I believe that there is a new resurrection about to be born in this place. This has been an extraordinary congregation for many years, with an extraordinary heart of mercy and an extraordinary way in which we were willing to receive mercy. And I believe that for the past little while, we have been like the caterpillar who, having grown and been fed, has then spun a cocoon around itself for a time of metamorphosis, a time in which God changed it from an earthbound, crawling creature so that it would emerge with wings and could fly. In a sense, the caterpillar died. What was the caterpillar died and was changed. And a resurrection took place as it emerged from that cocoon and lifted its wings and let the sun dry them as they spread, and then allowed it to take flight. And I believe that that is what we are at the beginning of right now. I find in myself an enthusiasm I haven't experienced for some years, a vision I haven't seen for some years, a hope I haven't experienced, a peace I haven't experienced. Most extraordinary thing happened just a little over a week ago, and all of the concern and worry and stewing and effort and everything that I personally felt about the Anglican Communion and the Episcopal Church and all of that just vanished like a vapor as the sun shone brightly on it. I have no concern at all. And I don't mean that I don't love the people that are involved. I do. But I'm not worried. It's as if God has said, you know what? I'm in charge even of this. You don't need to be in charge for me. But I also recognize that in this new birth, in this new resurrection, that there will be things that we have to leave behind. I don't even know what they are. Don't read too many implications into this yet. But whatever they are, if we need to leave them behind, we need to be willing to do that. We cannot cling to the cocoon and fly. The vestry of this church in a time of prayer and fasting, and others in this church in looking at where we are and what is needed in the soul of this church, in the soul of these souls, have said there are areas here of great giftedness, and there are areas here of what I will label broadly unsanctified gifting. And one example of this, which I'll cite, and I believe this is true in other areas as well, and these are things that we will leave behind, is there is an extraordinary difference between mercy and unsanctified mercy. And the word for unsanctified mercy, my friend Jim gave me, it's enabling. Enabling, that's the modern word for it. And here's the idea. You have a friend who has an addiction. God's heart of mercy goes to that person. Our heart of mercy goes to that person. We desire that that person, and sometimes it's us, we desire that that person be given the love of God. arms thrown around, drawn in, cared for, loved for, prayed over, Holy Spirit invited into their life so that things can be cleaned up and healed and they can be set free. That's mercy. Unsanctified mercy is when that friend says, I really need a drink right now. And we give them a drink. When we say, well, I'm really sorry that you've got the shakes, and I know what ends the shakes. It's a good stiff drink. And so I'm going to go get that good stiff drink for you. That's unsanctified mercy. That's being nice, but it has no Spirit of God in it. The Spirit of God sits with them through the shakes, through the DTs, prays with them through the DTs, walks with them in a life of sobriety, holds them accountable, allows themselves to be called at 11 p.m. when what they really want right that minute is to drive over to the liquor store and buy a bottle of Jim Beam. And instead they call you or me and say, I'm getting ready to go to the liquor store. Please talk me out of it. That's mercy. Unsanctified mercy is driving them there to be nice. Now, I don't want this congregation ever to lose a grain of its heart, of its kindness, of its love, of its willingness to pray, of its willingness to take in all the odd bodkins, which we all are. The King James talks about God's peculiar people. And it says that He loves His peculiar people. Thank God is right. Otherwise, I'm out on the street waiting for the truck to come by and pick me up with the rest of the trash. God loves His peculiar people. But what's so wonderful about that word is when the King James was written, the word peculiar meant something very different than it does today. And in fact, if you look at the Hebrew underneath that word, what it means is special. Like a diamond hidden. And He knows there's a diamond there, and all anybody else sees is the mud that covers it. That's God's peculiar people. And I truly believe that that is what He has made this place to be. But I believe that we are at the beginning of a great adventure, of an extraordinary change here in this congregation, an extraordinary change in the numbers of people that come here, an extraordinary change in our focus and our love, an ability to love higher than we've experienced before, deeper than we've experienced before, wider than we've experienced before, because it's the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is never unsanctified. Don shared that he heard the expression one time, Jesus loved us so much that He wouldn't leave us the way we were. He desires not just to save us, which He does freely and willingly, but He desires that His Spirit would live in our hearts and that it would transform us from the inside out. And it would pour through us to bless others. Can we imagine that it would pour through us to bless others in a way which wouldn't be of Him? No. That would be unsanctified. Unsanctified mercy. I believe Jesus desires to pour through us that we can be more than we've ever been before, that we can take wing. The butterfly is an ancient symbol in the Christian church of resurrection. And I believe that that's our symbol now. That's the symbol we own. It is that resurrection to new life, not just survival, not inwardly focused in the cocoon, which is necessary for a time. But after that time has passed, then that cocoon needs to be discarded. And parts of what were important to us and important to that stage of life no longer are important going forward. And what those are, we need to discern. And we need to leave behind as willingly as the butterfly leaves behind the cocoon. With no regrets, no concerns, no fears. Unsanctified mercy is one of those things we need to leave behind. And we need to look and see what other things are there about us in every aspect, in the way we live together, in the way we give, in the way we worship. What elements are there that are maybe traditional for us in one way or another, but really, really not sanctified. Really not a part of this new life in Christ, of this new resurrection, of this new resurrected life. I believe this new resurrection should be led by the Spirit to build up the church. To build up the church, an important expression from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 1, while knowledge may make us feel important, it is really love that builds up the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much, but the person who loves God is the one God knows and cares for. That's from Paul in 1 Corinthians 8. Or this from Romans 14, starting in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. And other people will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Led by the Spirit to build the church. The church means all of the members of resurrection. Actually, all of the members of the body of Christ. But specifically for us, for this assembly, for this fellowship, our call is to build the church. It means that we grow in the numbers of members, but we also grow in our lived out faith as members. We grow in the way in which we embody Jesus Christ and His love for the world. We grow in the way in which we are sanctified and seek to be sanctified and to hold each other accountable in a loving, caring, genuinely merciful way. Led by the Spirit to build up the church. Ephesians 4. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Note that it says, the responsibility of the leaders in the church is to equip God's people to do His work. The people do His work. To build up the church, the body of Christ. And so while there are surely those who are called to be evangelists, Franklin Graham, Billy Sunday, others, it is also true that every last one of us is called to be an evangelist. Not in the same way. But I don't believe for a minute that God intends to save and sanctify any one of us and then have us simply cocooned. Not share what it is that we have discovered, not share what it is that Christ has done for us. We live in a world whose values lead people to destruction. One of the great errors of the modern church is that it has so often adopted modern values and put vestments on them. And so when I find myself misled by a modern value and finally find myself desperate at the end of it, I've been going to the bars for 3 years now, doing one-night stands for 3 years now, I'm and dissolute and maybe infected, where do I turn? Do I go to a church which says, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're consenting adults? Where's the redemption? Unless there is a body of Christ which says, we love you regardless. But as the Spirit of the Lord fills you, these things which have been destructive to your soul will naturally end. And it may take some accountability. It may take some walking with you. It certainly is going to be a tough walk for you coming out of that. But there is redemption from that. There is rescue from that. If we're to be the body of Christ, we have to be an alternative to the world's values, not simply a prettified version of them, with vestments. Now, the consequence of that is you will be considered hateful by people whose values you don't support. You will be labeled hateful by a culture which doesn't want to hear your message. And no matter how lovingly that message is shared, you will be labeled hateful. You will be labeled hateful. You will be labeled hateful. Look what they did to Jesus. What he's calling us to do, he did absolutely and completely, and they killed him. What he had to say was an offense to the world's values, a stumbling block. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. That's his goal for every last one of us. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. An eternal challenge for the church. Indeed, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, us. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is Ephesians 4. I'd encourage everybody, go home, read Ephesians 4 every day this week. Read the end of Ephesians 3 and all of Ephesians 4 every day this week. That's the new resurrection. That is the butterfly emerging from the cocoon. And I believe that if we do that, if we share that love of Christ, if we dedicate our finances to sharing the love of Christ, our time to sharing the love of Christ, all that we are to sharing the love of Christ, there are so many hurt, so many wounded, who are dying to hear the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, even if they don't know that, that we will not be able to contain them in this place. And from those who are saved, even more leaders will emerge, and more of the gospel will be shared. And so I truly believe, and you're going to hear a lot about this from me in the weeks ahead, and I hope I hear a lot from all of you about this in the weeks ahead. I truly believe that we are at the beginning of the emergence of a new resurrection, of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, and that we will take with us into the air all of the best that God has formed in us during the time of our eating and growing, during the time of our metamorphosis and self-reflection and internalization in that cocoon, all of what He has done there, all of the best of that will be lifted up and given wing and carried forward. And all of that which we no longer need, some of which was hard and brittle but served a role at one time, God uses all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Even those things helped during that time of formation and metamorphosis, and many good eyes and hearts in this church saw them and named them. And we will see and name more, and we will leave them, whatever that is, fearlessly, I hope, so that we might fully be who God is calling us to be, led by the Spirit to build up the church. Led by the Spirit to build up the church, a new resurrection. Amen. Thank you.